Our New Testament reading this morning is from, we're going to start off with, I mixed them up when I sent them to Maria. So as you can see, we have Luke in there twice with the same reading almost. We're going to start off with the book of Hebrews and reading chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. Hear now the word of our Lord. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offering, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And our New Testament reading is from the book of Luke. And this is chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. Now, this is preceded immediately by the whole Christmas story. And this is a time when the Lord has been already born. I'm sorry, let me get back here. This is a time when the John the Baptist has been born and been conceived, and Mary goes to visit her cousin. Mary has been told when the angel came to visit Mary, she's been told that her cousin, who is quite old and beyond the normal age to give birth, is already 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Okay? And so the angel has told Mary that she will conceive the Christ child. The immediate previous scripture is when she says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she is said to be barren, is in her sixth month." And I wanted to read go back and read verse 37. It says, "For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be with you, me, as you have said." Then we start off in 39. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she," that is Elizabeth, "exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.' And Mary responded, and Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. And the next verse says, and Mary remained there with her cousin Elizabeth for the next 3 months, almost to the time that John the Baptist was born. Every year I read the Christmas story, and we'll continue it on Christmas Eve, the birth of Jesus. And I think, wow. You know, it's the more times you hear it, the more you want to hear it, the more new it becomes. Some people are already saying, I can't wait for Christmas to be over. I can't wait for Christmas to be done. I'm so tired of Christmas. I am so glad that God does not feel that way. I am so glad that God does not get tired of Christmas, that God does not get tired of me, that God does not give up on me. The big question is, just like when Jesus came and He performed all the miracles, don't you remember? He fed the 5,000 people, more like about 12, 15,000, including the women and children. He fed them out of just a few loaves of bread and a couple of dried fish. He fed all those people, did that miracle right before their eyes. They saw it. And they followed Him to the next town and they said, Jesus, show us a sign. They wanted to know what He's going to do next. And aren't we the same way? It's like, okay, God, thank You. That was great. But I tell you what I need. What are You going to do for me next? Well, as I was telling the children earlier, the good news, the very good news is that we can know what God will do next. Because it tells us in the Scripture. It tells us that Jesus Christ will come again. And we can believe that just as much as we know that when God said that Jesus Christ would be born to a virgin in the town of Bethlehem, that He was. We can know that just as certain as when Jesus said, I will die, I will be put to death on the cross, and I will die for your sins and mine. But on the third day I will be raised again. And we know that over 500 people saw the risen Jesus Christ, witnessed it with their eyes, touched Him with their hands, heard Him with their ears. We know that God always keeps His promise. But can you imagine a young virgin coming, being approached, being awakened by an angel? And if that isn't scary enough, telling her that her entire life is going to be totally different from anything she ever thought it would be. Don't you know, she was betrothed. She was engaged to be married. And everything we know about Joseph and everything, the Scriptures tells us that he was a wonderful man. That he was a wonderful person. And so she was excited. She was to be married. And suddenly an angel comes to her and says, okay, got something new for you. You're going to have this baby before you've ever even been with Joseph or anybody. You're going to be having a baby, and the baby will be the Messiah, the Christ child, who will save the world from its sin. And we heard Elizabeth, her cousin, say that how blessed Mary was to have been chosen, and how blessed she was for Mary to come to her after the angel told her that her cousin was with child as well. And Mary talked about how, in what we refer to as Mary's song, as how she has been blessed. God always keeps His promises, but He never does it in the way that we expect. I never had a clue what my life would be. I have no idea where it's going to go now. But we need to trust in God. And we need to trust in God, not with this resolution that we are going to live with it, we're going to deal with it, that I'll bear up with it. But we need to trust in God with the joy that Mary did. Mary knew that she could well be stoned to death for being pregnant when she was betrothed. The Old Testament scripture dictated a very stern thing for someone who was unfaithful when they were engaged to be married. Mary knew that that was a possibility, but she trusted God. And she trusted God not only with a resolution that God's in charge and if it's to be, it'll be, but she trusted God with joy and thanksgiving. She said, thank you, God. And she trusted Him. Can you trust God? We know what He's going to do next, but we don't know how He's going to do it, and we have no clue when He's going to do it. We know that God is going to continue to reach out to other people and bring them to know Him before He returns. But we don't know how He's going to do it or when He's going to do it. Do you trust God for what's next? We know that Jesus told you and me to go to all the people and tell them the good news, to deliver the gospel to them, and that He would be with you. Whenever you gathered in His name, He would be there with you. You don't have to go alone. Do you trust Him? Will you do that? We know that Jesus told us that He will be with you and keep you safe and give you life and give you life abundantly. But sometimes it doesn't seem so abundant with the problems of aging, when the body doesn't do what we want it to do, when the problems of being young and the world is a scary place, with the problems of being uncertain what God's plan is for you, how this can all work out for good. What will God do next in your life? What will God use you for? It probably won't be so for any of us as it was for Mary, so earth-changing, for changing history, for changing the whole outlook of the world, for giving hope to people forever. But it won't be for nothing. It won't be unimportant. And it will not be something that isn't part of God's plan. God has a plan for you and for me. And we have to be there with what's next. The last few Sundays, we've concentrated on what will you do? But today, it's what will God do? And how will God use you? How will God use you to accomplish His will? The one thing you can know from the example of Mary and Elizabeth is that in Elizabeth's case, it doesn't matter how old you are. God can use you to do amazing things. Even at an old age, having a baby who will be the great prophet, John the Baptist, to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, who will be born to Mary, a young girl. So it doesn't matter how young you are. This is the God that led David to walk out in front of the great Goliath with nothing but a sling and throw a stone from that sling and put the Goliath who had terrified the people of Israel to put into death with one small stone. So it doesn't matter how little protection you have and how great the odds are. We can be ready for what is next, but only if we understand what is now. We have been blessed beyond any expectation. We have been saved from harm for a purpose. We have been placed where we are. And like Joseph, when he was placed in slavery and sold as a slave by his brothers, he bloomed where he was planted. You have been placed where you are for a purpose. You have been placed, you have been made who you are for a reason. And you have been sent where you will go, but never alone, and never without a plan. And you can do as Mary did and thank God for the blessings. You can do as Mary did and thank God for being chosen. And you can do as Mary did and trust God completely. As we prepare for Christmas morning, with all the Christmas cheer and the gifts and the family gathering, or not so much. Either way, Christmas morning will come and go. But take time to share the Christmas story with those in your family and your friends. Take time to sit and read this wonderful scripture on Christmas morning. Take time to spend moments with God in prayer, letting God reveal to you what's next in your life. Letting God reveal to you what He has planned. Letting God show you the path forward. Letting God challenge you to be who you can be. Letting God challenge you to be His disciple. May the God who loves you, who created you with a purpose, give you a wonderful Christmas. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.